The Declaration of Independence says that our rights as Americans are the right to life, to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But today, is the American dream dead? Are many disillusioned with it, as if it's a false promise, especially our youth? The Publius National Post writes, quote, "Why are so many young people rejecting the idea of the American dream? 65% of Gen Zers and 74% of millennials say they believe that they are starting further behind financially than earlier generations at their age," end quote. Joe Brocato is the author of the book Hit It Off, 21 Rules for Mastering the Art and Science of Relationships in Life and Business. Brocato says, quote, "The American dream should always empower every American, no matter one's age, the ability to prosper based on one's abilities and efforts. Politicians and the electorate alike have not adequately prioritized the importance of the American dream." We're going to be talking about this right now with Joe Brocato. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Joe, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be here, Jerry. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. And I noticed your phone, at least the extension of your phone is, or the area code is Chicago. And I'm from the Chicago area. My dad was an example of the American dream. But you're right. It seems like it's being lost these days, isn't it?
Well, it's a matter of perspective. And you know, a lot of the messaging that we get is that it's unattainable for younger generations. But, you know, if you go back to folks of prior generations, you know, folks that came out of the Depression, they were just, you know, worried about having food on the table. You know, their kids were looking for a steady paycheck to put their children through school. And frankly, every generation should redefine the American dream for themselves. And, you know, you quoted the Declaration of Independence, and that concept of the pursuit of happiness is still available and should, as long as we have this great country of ours, be available to everyone, no matter what their age. And so I think younger generations really need to reset their minds along the lines of what exactly do they want out of life to live most abundantly. And, you know, at the end of the day, everybody needs to make that decision on their own. So I think my book, Hit It Off, 21 Rules for Mastering the Art and Science of Relationships in Life and Business, is so timely. Because if you take a look at, if you're just talking about, you know, you referenced, you know, financial success and how much money people make, studies have shown that 85% of our success on the job is based on people skills. And only 15% is based on technical skills and knowledge, stuff that we learn in school. So I think that it really behooves younger generations, really everybody, to reckon with that fact and harness all the skills they can to really maximize the likelihood of moving up on the ladder economically. And my book just does that. It provides a workable game plan for everybody to use in the form of these 21 rules, which are all backed by science, if you will.
Well, that's very interesting. You know, I was just thinking about the book from the 1930s from Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. In light of what you just said about how 85% of success in work is really based on your relationships, I thought, wow, that kind of book is really important. So walk us through your book. What is in it? And I understand that there's two fairly simple efforts that are involved in maintaining the American dream.
Well, I think we talked about prioritization. I think our political leaders need to better prioritize the needs of younger generations. I mean, really, when was the last time we heard of a prominent politician expressly stating that they need to pay attention to and squarely address this concept of the American dream? I haven't heard it. They talk around it. Maybe they think that people are understanding it, but they need to squarely address it and effectively communicate with younger generations to figure out exactly what can empower them the most to prosper. And I think young people really need to, you know, it's okay to identify obstacles and challenges to their success, whether it's, you know, in the form of high home prices or interest rates or things like that. Yes, those are all challenges and obstacles, but people really need to focus also, frankly, and prioritize in their own lives what is within their control. And by really utilizing the skills in my book, for example, which is all backed by science, I've done a lot of research around these things. These are fairly intuitive things that have a lot of research behind it. And what I found by looking at psychological and sociological and other business studies and expert commentary around these intuitive things, that there's a lot of efficacy in these intuitive things. And what I've done in the book is I've married the science with the common sense intuitive. That's where I think true mastery is. And I think if younger generations really harness these skills, these people skills, I call them power skills now, to really, like I said, maximize the likelihood of achieving life abundantly, however they define it. Some people may define it as making a lot of money. You know, the younger generations today have a lot of benefits that folks in prior generations didn't have. Just take the work-life balance concept. You know, remote working wasn't even a thing. Not too long ago, actually, you know, we were very much in a command and control management style in business. Now we've shifted to a trust and verify, and that provides a lot of flexibility to younger generations to really focus on their own well-being much more, to work on their own levels of happiness. And Rule 21 actually is about positivity, injecting positivity for positive results. And, you know, a lot of folks that, you know, grew up in times past didn't have a lot of time really to think about their own level of happiness. But younger folks today can, in fact, take advantage of that and the luxuries they have, the greater career opportunities, all the technology, the better healthcare, et cetera, to really focus on their personal well-being, which makes them, in fact, more productive. It'll make them live longer. It'll allow them to have better relationships, because science does show that higher levels of happiness, when you inject it into a relationship, it's going to yield a better relationship. So these are all the things that both politicians need to focus on and young people need to focus on, and do it with things that are within their respective control.
Wow, that's interesting. We only have about 6 minutes left, so why don't you go ahead, since you mentioned principle number 21, why don't you go ahead and just give us an overview of the other principles?
Well, I'd love to do that. And really the umbrella for the entire message in the book is around applying critical thinking and mindfulness to the interpersonal dynamic. All these rules, whether you're talking about respect, or you're talking about caring for your actions, or you're talking about positivity or future retrospection, these are things that all are under the rubric of critical thinking. By essentially, you know, communicating effectively. A lot of these rules are about communicating effectively with people. You can't really have an agreement and get to your goal without effectively communicating. Carefully assessing information. We've lost the art of careful assessment of information. We listen to a lot of distractions out there. People need to really think through exactly what's going on and be mindful of that. And then also really approaching life more objectively, leaving your predetermined biases and prejudgments at the door as much as possible. So, you know, I reference things like respect. I learned about respect in the family, around the kitchen table. I think we've lost, frankly, again, the art of respect in our society. We see it with all the incivility, both on the street, we see it in our political institutions. These are things where we have to recognize that everyone deserves to be valued, whether we agree with them or not. And disagreement is another point in the book. If you disagree, find common ground. And this could be hopefully a cure for a lot of the incivility. Whether we agree with somebody or not, we need to pivot conversations, pivot the relationship around things that we can agree on, common ground. It could be non-negotiables. It could be governing values that both people agree upon. We don't always have to take the other side of things just for the sake of doing that, especially if the whole goal is to really maximize the likelihood of achieving your goals in the relationship. So there are a lot of good nuggets, both practically as well as from a scientific perspective that give people really a toolbox to use. There are a lot of exercises at the end of the book so people can start utilizing these rules efficiently and immediately. And that's really part of it. You got to get out and practice them. They're not terribly difficult, but holistically, they put together a formula and a system that people can really harness and use to maximize their likelihood of achieving all of their success in life.
And why don't you give maybe a short example of, you know, something that you talk about in the book, an example of somebody where they turned their life around by God's grace or whatever, and, you know, or they were able to apply, you know, one of these principles and it made a difference.
Well, I can use my own self because I know myself the best. There's a rule about providing value to promote gratitude. One of the things that I do, I'm a lawyer by trade. I've been practicing for more than 30 years. And so if I had to really kind of boil down any success that I have enjoyed, it's about learning how to be valuable to other people. Be a maker, not a taker. And when you're providing value to people, it opens up a lot of opportunities because the science shows it's going to promote gratitude. And hopefully that's going to come back to you in spades. And it's very, very, very important to be a maker. People like to get value from other people. And when two people are coming together and they're exchanging value, then both people can satisfy their rational self-interest. So I've built my business, my book of business, over many, many years by providing value to my clients, not in the form of just great legal services, I hope, but helping them grow their businesses, helping them with access to great information and introductions to people who can help them out as well, not just providing a service, but being much more than that. That's a way people need to really adopt the right mindset around how they're going to interact with people. And that's one good example, at least in my case, and I've seen it in a lot of other cases, where you take something like that, you harness value, build up your value resources so you can bring them to bear with other people that you're trying to help out, and hopefully that ends up helping you in return.
Okay, and you mentioned gratitude. Is that an important trait? And by the way, the longer I live, the more convinced I become that gratitude is like one of the missing elements in our society. I mean, even from every perspective, but it makes such a difference. And it's fantastic to live in a country where our ancestors decided to actually set aside a day as a holiday of thanksgiving to God. And, you know, but gratitude, not only to God, but to our fellow man, I think it does make a difference. I imagine that's one of your rules, the 21 rules.
Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, gratitude is also a reminder to us, because we find it very valuable to meditate on what we're grateful for. But other people are doing that too. So it's very, very helpful if you can provide value to other people and you can provide things in the form of good, trustworthy friendship. You could develop rapport. You know, there's a rule in the book about caring through your actions and creating what's known in science as the perception of social support. Caring is great. You know, we're very empathetic for people, but science shows that that's a very passive activity. What we need to do is take a concrete step in addition to simply caring, which is very internal, and go that step further and have a concrete action to show we care. And that creates what science shows is a perception of social support. People feel more supported. They feel less stressful. They feel more accepted. And what that does, it really...
We have about half a minute left. Go ahead.
So people can actually satisfy their mutual interests. So gratitude is very, very important.
Okay. Is there a website for the book? Hit It Off?
There is. It's hititoffthebook.com. Hititoffthebook.com. And everybody can follow me if they like. I would love it on social media at Joe Brocato Official.
Okay, Joe, thank you very much. All the best. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jerry. You're the best. Thank you so much.